Richie Rich has got the Midas touch and the heart of solid gold. Richie never will forget his pals. Friendship can't be undersold. Just a little kiss from Gloria. Richie starts a crush and twitch. Dorothy, we reckon tiny too. You know they love Richie Rich.
Cap Pierre, cuisine extraordinaire.
Butler Cadbury's the best.
Maid Irona, she has nerves of steel.
Maid Imani, you're the best.
Chauffeur Bascom is a highway king.
Reggie is a little snitch. Everybody's ready for some fun. Come on, let's turn Richie Rich.
Hello and welcome to the 63rd episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcaster Radio Network. I am your host, TFG and Mike, and today I'm joined once again by Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I am great. I was going to say fantastic, but I say fantastic every week, so I wanted to say
yeah, fan-fucking-tastic, yeah.
So I'm just great this week.
What's going on in the world of home ownership?
Lots of stuff outside is what's going on. Actually, not lots of stuff outside because it won't freaking stop raining.
Hey, at least you get rain. We have nothing but, with heat index, we have nothing here in Louisville, Kentucky other than 99 degree heat. So
I think on the last 14 days it's rained 12 of them and the other 2 days have been so ungodly hot that you couldn't go outside anyway.
Exactly.
So all my outside products are on hold, but I'm looking hopefully in the next week or so, although it's supposed to rain for the next 5 days too. But I'd like to finish staining my deck. I have it about 80% done, and I'd like to paint all the window frames around my house because I already have them sanded down to the wood. So, but we'll see if that ever happens. So while it's been raining, I've been locked up inside doing stuff over at BTVA. So lots of weird updates from me over there. I've been doing all kinds of crazy classic crappy cartoons.
Crazy classic crappy cartoons.
Yeah.
Wow.
I added the Addams Family, and I added like Buford and the Galloping Ghost, and Birdman and the Galaxy, or whatever the trio. And what was the last one I added? The Archie Show, which was god awful to watch. But I added the Archie Show and the new Archie Show, or whatever. They have a lot of voice actors that have done nothing else before or after.
There was something I was just looking up over there. I had no idea Peter Cullen voiced the Hulk at one point.
Yeah, he's done some stuff that I never knew he did until I started looking into it, that's for sure. I thought, you know, even when we started doing this show, I realized he had done some stuff, but I thought he had fairly limited, you know. I knew he had done Optimus and some big names like that, but I didn't know he had done so many, but he's done so many roles that I didn't even have a clue about.
Yep.
The other thing exciting that's going on over, well, I don't know if it's necessarily exciting, it's exciting for me because I'm the only one that usually does the top 10 list, but we have a poll up there now on each top 10 list that you can actually vote for who should be number one, so it's kind of a neat little added feature there.
Oh, Scott McNeil for Cobra Commander.
You're a bastard child.
Again, we pre-record the Tooncast episodes now, so by the time this airs, this news item would be a month and a half or so old.
We recorded this 10 years before it aired.
Shut up. last week, June...
For time travelers.
No, 14th, 17th, I don't know, a week ago, the week of June 7th, because the way Nerd News over at thisweekingeek.net goes is it's a week behind. Ah. So the week of June 7th, we reported on, I actually grabbed the story about the Thundercats series from BBTA. Nice. And we talked about that.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Smurfs movie yet?
Shut up.
I'm just asking.
Oh, Christ. Kill me now.
It's kind of scary. It's like what nightmares are made out of.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm mad about? I believe this already happened, and I kind of have been out of the loop, but I'm mad that I forgot to pick up... did the G.I. Joe movie come out on DVD now?
No, not till July.
Oh, I was thinking I missed it for some reason. Maybe no, something... Oh, no, the MacGyver movies came out on DVD, and I forgot to pick those up.
See?
I knew it was one of them that came out in June, one that came out in July. Well, I have all seven seasons. All I'm missing is...
How the hell? Wait a second. How the hell does MacGyver and G.I. Joe have some sort of common denominator? That makes no goddamn sense.
Those are the only two DVDs I've been waiting for. I have all seven seasons of MacGyver, and they did not put the TV movies on any of them. And then when they put out the entire series together, it was included. So for all of us that had bought the individual seasons, we've been waiting for them to put out the movies separately. And now they finally did that last Tuesday. But I forgot to buy it. So I got to go find it at a store soon before it disappears.
Go to your local Target. They'll have it.
Yep, they will. I have one literally 2 minutes away from me, so I don't know what my excuse is.
Let's see. What else? What am I getting in the mail recently? I got a copy of Planes, Trains, and Automobile. Actually, I found something else I'm going to actually add to the MWR schedule. Throw Mama from the Train.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I love that movie.
So you're going to have Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and then you're going to be throwing people off of Planes and Trains and Automobiles.
No, because PTA is... wow, that sounds horrible, PTA. Yikes. That's episode 49, and then episode 50 is the Indiana Jones episode, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, we can't have Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and then throwing people off the train. let's see what else is going on. I'm trying to convince my mom to get me a new computer. Don't know if it's going to work or not, but yeah, I really want one of those HP Touch Smart things. Those things are so fucking cool. And hell, it'd be a hell of a lot faster than what I have now, this 10-year-old piece of shit.
Be nice to it.
No, I better, because hell, it'll probably stop right in the middle of the freaking record. I'm sitting here with my hand on my head, not touching anything, and every now and then, this thing will automatically power off and power back on.
Huh. It's always nice.
No. Not at all.
Not always nice, okay.
What else is going on? What?
War for Cybertron?
Oh, yeah. No. Well, hold on for the War for Cybertron, but my TV died.
Did you have a funeral for it?
Shut up. My beautiful 32-inch LCD flat-panel TV that I've had since 2006 took a giant shit and died. I have no idea what's wrong with it whatsoever. But, yeah, now I'm relegated back to... I think it's a 19-inch tube TV.
Thanks. I wish my TV would die.
And why?
It's like I have an excuse to go get a new one. When I worked at Target, I got one of the... I always got display models because they were 30% off plus my discount, so I got them for, like, dirt cheap. And I knew which ones hadn't been overused or abused or whatever, and I got this one. It was one of the first TVs that came out with the capability of having HD if you bought the... HD receiver, whatever nonsense, and it's not a flat panel, but it's a flat screen, and good lord, the thing weighs like 1,000 pounds.
Yeah,
and it's only like a 26-inch or something like that, and I have this big wall where my TV is that is perfect for like a 40-plus-inch screen,
yeah.
And I can't convince myself to buy it until I absolutely have to because I don't really have the money. So I'm like, but if my TV ever dies, I'll have to go buy a TV. So.
Yeah, my mom, I think it was Christmas or a birthday present in 2006. I forget. I told her I wanted a TV. I wanted a new TV. And because the one I had was one of those. Because I've always gotten, before I get into the whole flat panel thing, mm-hmm. I've always gotten the combos, the TV-DVD combo or TV-VCR combo. That way I don't have to buy a separate VCR or DVD player, whatever. That one finally died. And I said I wanted a new TV for my birthday or Christmas or whatever the hell occasion it was. So we went to Best Buy, looked at a bunch of them, didn't like a lot of them, saw this nice silver one. It's a Magnavox. And the weirdest thing is the only one in the entire store that had speakers on both of its sides. So, like, you know how you have your monitor and it has the like, black or whatever color your monitor is, has the sides and then it has the screen?
Yeah.
Just imagine speakers instead of...
Yep, I've seen those.
Yeah. And it was just an awesome TV. Just displayed picture beautifully and... about a week and a half ago, I had it on. It was working fine. It started flickering whenever I would go to turn it on. Mm-hmm. But it would eventually, the picture would eventually clear up. And I had it on one morning. I said, screw it, I'm going back to sleep, because, yeah, I'd been up for 2 hours, and I'm like, okay, why did I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning? And so I just put it on mute instead of turning it off. And when I came back out an hour later, because I couldn't get back to sleep, it was a black screen, and it was powering itself on and off. I have no idea what the deal is with it. It's still
possessed.
It's still in my... Yeah. The 13 Ghosts complete series possessed it.
The Ghost of Starscream, wasn't it?
No. Oh, God, you so missed that reference. Anyway.
I know what you're talking about, but I wanted to go with the Ghost of Starscream instead.
Fuck a ghost. No. Vincent Price, there we go. Oh, shit. All right, well, let's get into the history lesson.
All right, our history lesson today is all about Richie Rich, and Richie Rich is an animated television series. Imagine that. Tooncast, we're going to talk about an animated television series. Produced by none other than Hanna-Barbera Productions, which you can go vote on BTVA as them being the number one production studio. Anyway, that aired on ABC from 1980 to 1984, based upon Harvey Comics' popular Richie Rich comic book characters, shared time slots with Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo, the Little Rascals, and Pac-Man over its original broadcast run. The other most visible character was Richie's dog, the appropriately named Dollar. The show airs occasionally on Boomerang. Boomerang's reruns feature the theme from the new Scooby-Doo movies over the closing credits. So that does it for the short, abbreviated history lesson on Richie Rich. Do you remember anything about Richie Rich?
I love this cartoon.
That's good.
This cartoon was so awesome, but it's more of like, oh, I freaking remember that. Like, I would watch it now when I did have Boomerang. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I remember watching this show, but I don't really remember watching it at the same time.
Yeah.
But just all the gadgets and Cadbury and what was the stupid professor's name? Keen Bean. And all this other stuff was just awesome. And of course, Dollar is awesome. And we'll get to why Dollar's awesome once we get into the voice cast.
Yeah, I don't really remember much about Richie Rich. It must have been one of those that somehow like got lost in the shuffle for me in the early 80s. Well, first of all, I was barely born when it started to air. And if it aired in 80, I was born in 81. So by the time it was done, I was like 3. So that's probably going to... That's probably the main reason why I don't remember it much.
Syndication, though, because it was in syndication in the 80s.
I think I saw it a couple times on syndication and stuff like that, but I've never been a fan of the actual character Richie Rich, just because he's a spoiled brat. But
no, he's not.
I know, but I don't know. I just never liked the comics or anything to do with Richie Rich, so I think I just kind of bypassed it as a cartoon. That being said, it's a decent cartoon. I watched a few episodes leading up to this, even though the episodes for this are kind of hard to find online.
Yes, they are.
But I saw little bits and pieces, and it seems like a typical 80s cartoon there, kind of in the same vein as a few others. But I just don't remember much from my childhood, that's all.
Mm. So, going into the voiced cast here, we have... I'm sorry, but that poor kid's got to be horrible. He's going to feel horrible for being saddled with a name like Sparky Marcus.
Sparky Marcus!
Wow.
Better known as Leslie from the Bad News Bears. And he also did the lead role on Get Along Gang, Montgomery Moose, and yeah. He was TJ Tiger on the Shirt Tales, but I think he was most known for his live-action roles as a little kind of little kid on... it wasn't just Bad News Bears, he was on a couple other things, I just can't think of them at the moment.
Yeah, he played the voice of Richie Rich. voice acting god Frank Welker plays the voice of Dollar. The dog.
Imagine him playing the dog. I don't.
God, if we
genius casting.
It's just like every time a role of his comes up, it's like, wow, he did that. And it's like, if we ever get an interview with him, holy crap, I have to have him do so many damn promos and so many damn voices.
I'm pretty sure that there's only two actors in the history of voice acting that have ever done dog characters. I think Don Messick and Frank Welker are the only two people that ever do dogs.
Mm.
That sounded bad, but anyway.
Yeah, that kind of did, actually.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on to Bart Simpson. Oh, wait, no, never mind. Nancy Cartwright voiced Gloria Glad. What was the other one that she was in that we were surprised?
She did one of the Pound Puppies, and she did Bright Eyes?
Yeah, I'm not talking, no, the other one, the other series. There was another series before The Simpsons. Jeez, I can't remember.
Yeah, she's done a couple. I'll get it for you in a second.
Hey, Kevin Cooper, why don't you go back and listen to our old episodes and tell us which other one, other than Pound Puppies, Nancy Cartwright was in.
And then we have a couple of voice actors that I'm not too familiar with in the next two roles.
Yeah, Christian Hoff and Al Fan. I have no idea.
Yeah, I've never heard of them, or I'm not familiar with anything they've done, so I don't know.
Yeah, and then Joan Gerber played Irona the Robot Maid and Mrs. Rich.
She's pretty famous from back in the day.
Mm.
She did a lot of stuff in the early days. And Nancy Cartwright was Bright Eyes and Pound Puppies. She did a whole bunch of My Little Ponies. And she did, let's see, Daphne Gilfin and Snorks.
That's what it was. Yeah, you just ruined the other Kevin's research. Sorry. His homework. Yeah, there you go.
And then we have Dick Beals, who did Reggie Van Doe.
Yeah.
And then two guys, Bill Calloway, who's better known as Aquaman or Bizarro from the Super Friends series, did Professor Keen Bean.
And then our friend Jones, yes.
Yeah. It's been a couple episodes in a row where he's made an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Does Cadbury the Butler.
Yes. I find that very strange that he does Cadbury and Zarek.
That's a decent cast, though. I mean,
Yeah, it is.
And surprising that they actually, you know, we haven't seen a lot of shows where the production team or the voice directors or casting directors or whoever have gone after real kids to do the kid roles. You know, obviously outside of the Peanuts specials and all that, which we talked about in length when we talked about those. But, you know, a lot of times we were having older female voice actors doing the kids, but this time we actually have Sparky Marcus as a kid. And then we have some big time older voice acting cast. The acting cast is pretty actually old compared to a lot of them that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not old. I mean, we're not talking about like Mel Blanc and that era, but next era. But this is a pretty good cast, I think.
Yes, it is. Who's your favorite character out of the episodes you were able to find?
I think Cadbury. I don't know why. I have no reasoning behind it, but I just kind of liked how he was portrayed and his voice, and he's just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I like Dollar the best just because he's the comedy relief. Well, he's the comedy relief, and every now and then he'll get it in his head that he can save the day, or he can figure it out to do this and do that, and I like all the little speech bubbles that show up images of what he's potentially going to, or wanting to do, and then of course it goes ass backwards on him.
He kind of reminds me of Hot Dog from the Archie show, just because I recently was watching the Archie show. I don't know why he reminds me of him, but they're kind of similar. I don't know where I was going with that.
Mm-hmm. let's see, what is this? 1980, right?
1980 to 84 or so. Did you have a least favorite character in this?
Reggie.
Yeah.
Reggie is the spoiled little brat. Now, I gotta say something, though. Richie, while the Rich family is obviously rich, I mean, hell, it's in their friggin' name. They live in this million-dollar mansion. They don't act, well, at least the parents might, but Richie himself doesn't act like he has all the money in the world. Sure, he'll mention, oh yeah, Dad's got this, or oh yeah, we've got that. And, you know, it's kind of like your rich everyman, where they have a solution to every problem that that may arise. But I never saw Richie as throwing it in people's faces. Now Reggie, holy crap, he wanted to steal all the money, wanted to do this, That's one of those little 7-year-olds that are down the street making their dog bark at 4 a.m. that you want to just slap the shit out of them.
Are you talking about a personal experience here?
No.
Yeah, I don't like Reggie either. He's kind of a prick.
Yeah. One of the reasons why I asked you as far as the year is because now, I know we've had robots before on this show other than Transformers, and those little bitchy helicopters.
GoBots!
No, they don't count. But actually, you know, this is funny. Irona the Maid is the first Transformer.
Oh, God. I don't even know what to say to that.
She is Richie's personal bodyguard. To fulfill that role, Irona can convert her body into various alternative modes as necessary. For instance, the moment she receives a summons from Richie, she would change her body into a jet plane mode and immediately fly to the boy. A female Starscream. I smell crossover.
Like the maid from the Jetsons.
Actually, you know what? When she changed a lot of her stuff, when she did her transformations, it somewhat reminded me of Hordak.
Oh, God.
No, I'm
Hordak.
Just, no, yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, remember in Secret of the Sword when he went into his rocket form or when he would change his arm? That's what Irona reminds me of, is Hordak.
That's anyway. An interesting comparison. Any other thoughts on the characters or the voice actors?
Not really. And I've pretty much already just gone over the entire production adaptation changes. And of course, we all know that, you know, for a cartoon to work, it can't just be a direct... Well, for some cartoons to work, it can't just be a direct adaptation of a comic, so there were plenty of liberties taken with this one. So I guess kind of getting into the behind-the-scenes segment here. Richie is depicted as slightly older and wears a sweater with large R on in front of it, as well as his trousers. Gloria is shown as the same age as Richie and wears a white long-sleeve blouse, purple sweater or sweater vest, and purple miniskirt. Dollar is more anthropomorphized with Walter Mitty-like fantasies. And I already talked about Irona. Okay, so they listed changes. What did it change from? Like, okay, Richie's older. All right, that other than that, was Gloria younger in the comics? I don't know because I never read the comics. So,
okay. I think they were pretty close. I don't think they would... For being an adaptation from the comics, I think they stuck a lot to... I mean, I don't think they changed anything drastically at all. I mean, it's pretty much the comics on TV, just like the Archies was. That's why I keep kind of comparing it to the Archies, because they're both comics that are turned into cartoons. They both have characters that wear clothes that have the first letters of their names. They both have a dog. It's just a lot of it similar to me.
Yeah. As far as the credits... Hannah and Barbara are really the only ones you need to remember, honestly.
Yeah, we did have, Mark, I thought I recognized.
Mark Evanier, I recognize his name. Jack Mendelsohn, I recognize his name.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, that's it.
Yeah, I don't... Bob Ogle, I don't know why I recognize that name. Mm-hmm. And Ginny McSwain, I recognize some of these names, but I'm not sure why.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize the musical director, but that's later on.
Oh, well, yeah, everybody, yeah. In between
that.
Andrea Romano and Hoyt Curtin, they're probably going to have the two most billed things on this podcast.
Yeah. Oh. In season two, one of the directors was Carl Urbano, and his name's popped up a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't... Not a lot of the writers are people that I'm recognizing from anything else.
Yeah, no. And...
Oh, wait, you go. What about the layout guy for season two?
Layout guy for season two. Let's see. Oh, Christ.
Is that the same guy I'm thinking it is?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Sorry, I had to bring that up for you.
Fucking moron.
And everybody should know that anytime he reacts like that, it's because of you know who. From a show
that
we'll call RNS.
A show that will never, ever be fucking covered on this podcast.
And of course, the executive in charge of production is Margaret. However you say your name, Lush. She's big wig and doing all kinds of stuff nowadays.
Okay, why did you bring her up? I have no idea.
I think she's one of the main people that's in charge of the hub.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I think so.
Mm.
The new for those of you that are living in a cave, the new Hasbro channel.
Yes.
I think she was a bigwig for Hanna-Barbera, and she's remained a bigwig. So.
Talk about some 80s hair.
How about the actual show? Do you remember anything about the actual show?
I was going to say, yeah, it's kind of blank. I don't know why it is. I don't think they actually listed anything on Wiki. I don't know, and of course, majority of these I've already gotten from Wikipedia. Basically, the actual show comprises of three different versions of a Richie Rich cartoon. There's Screen Gems, Treasure Chest, and there's a third one I don't remember. Screen Gems is pretty much a full-length 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-minute cartoon. Treasure Chest is more like a 4, 5, 6-minute cartoon. And they pretty much have the same story. Something happens, either someone tries to break into the Rich family home to steal the money, and Richie has to go catch them, or if they're in another, the other storyline they used to have is, if they're in another city or in another place, or if Richie's going to play with his friends, and something happens to that, that they need to save the mom and dad, or they need to save Dollar, or they need to save Cadbury, or something. Yeah. It's pretty much Scooby-Doo without the mysteries.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Going into the music segment, as we said, Hoyt Curtin did the music. I actually really enjoy the Screen Gems little blurby intro for that title card, which will probably be in this episode somewhere.
The two seasons had two different intros?
Yeah.
Thought I remembered that, but
yeah.
That's about the only thing you can find on YouTube, actually, of Richie Rich.
Are the intros, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going into the Legacy segment, not a whole hell of a lot for the Legacy segment. I was expecting a hell of a lot more than just one DVD release. I was expecting toys, comics, lunchboxes, thermoses.
Richie Rich just hasn't really...
Pencil cases.
It doesn't seem like it survived as well as a lot of the other stuff from... I mean... Again, another comparison to Archie's. I mean, they just kind of... A lot of those comic-based things just didn't... I mean, yeah, Garfield and the Peanuts and all that stuff, yeah, but that's a whole different topic there. But a lot of these more, I don't know, not as mainstream comics at the time... I mean, I guess they were mainstream, but they just had their show, they had their TV series, and then it seems like they kind of fizzled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on May 20th, 2008, Warner Home Video released the Richie Rich Scooby-Doo Show Volume 1 on DVD in Region 1. It features 7 episodes. Wow, 7 episodes. Yikes.
Yeah, and the only reason they did that, the only way Richie Rich even made it to DVD was by giving him a partnership with Scooby-Doo, just like when they were on TV.
I don't understand. Okay, I understand that they were partners on TV at some point. I don't understand why... that when the live-action film came out, that they couldn't release the DVDs then. Of course, that was back in 1994, and DVD wasn't that big yet. I get that part. But still, there could have been something.
Yeah.
As far as the live-action film goes, yikes. Have you ever...
That's a good summary. No,
you've never seen it?
No, I won't watch that.
Okay, age Kevin McAllister and give him money. Seriously.
Yeah.
As much as I love Home Alone and Home Alone 2, as much as I love those two films, it's Macaulay Culkin as Richie Rich. It's basically porting over, I don't know if it's porting over the comic or the cartoon, but to me, because I've always watched the cartoon, it's pretty much porting over the cartoon into live action. I don't remember if Dollar was... I'm sure he was there, but I don't remember if he was CG or anything like that. Not CG as in like what the horrible Smurfs are, but CG in as the fact that kind of like more like Underdog and Marmaduke and shit like that. I don't
shit is a good descriptive word there.
Well, yeah. I don't remember.
Dog if shit.
Is it? Yeah, exactly. I don't remember if that was like that. It's okay. Like, I'll catch
it. Did he talk in the movie?
Dollar?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't see. It's the thing. I'll catch the movie every now and then on like ABC Family or TBS or TNT or you know I'll catch it at weird times on television. But honestly, I don't remember really seeing it. I know the whole premise of the film is the parents get kidnapped by somebody. He has to go save them, but at the same time, he lies to his friends and they all, you know, abandon him pretty much, and because he lies, so who he is.
So he's home alone.
I was like I said, it, if you age Kevin McAllister and put him, you know, give him like a shit ton of money. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Nice.
All right. So, do we have anything else we want to say before we go to the break?
I'm good on Richie Rich, I think.
Cast will be back after these messages.
This is The Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
Do not be alarmed. This transmission is being jacked by the lunchroom. We are here to tell you that the lunchroom has been rebooted. It is now a part of the GeekCast Radio Network, and is still available at thelunchroom.net. It debuts every Monday or Wednesday, or whenever we see fit to give it to you. Any further information can be found at thelunchroom.net. We will now return you to your regular program.
Did you know that Justin Bieber is actually Webster in a girl suit? Did you know that Teddy Ruxpin's friend Grubby actually a tapeworm?
Did you know that Gargamel was really a cat lady?
Did you know that Billy Zane is the only man to ever beat Chuck Norris? If you didn't know any of these things, then you should be currently listening to Chicken Pop Pod Retro Comedy Podcast. Catch it at chickenpoppod.com.
Indeed I am, Michael. And I am here to help you and Kevin take over podcasting.
Now back to Dreamcast.
So, final thoughts on Richie Rich.
I think what Richie Rich ultimately tells us is that no matter how much money you have, you can't buy a spot in the cartoon Hall of Fame here. It's an all right cartoon. It's 80s vintage 80s stuff. But like I said, it's just to me it's just like Archie's, and I never have really liked either one. I guess it's all right. It's got a good voice cast. But there's just something about the whole Richie Rich thing I just have never been a fan of, so I don't have as fond of memories as you do, I guess, on this show.
I've made a lot of horrible crossover references in this episode, and I'm going to make another one.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to make another one. I always, for some strange reason, I always used to get this confused with Johnny Quest.
Ouch.
I don't mean that.
Little blonde kids.
Exactly, that's the thing.
Dennis the Menace, too?
Oh, hell, nobody can confuse Dennis the Menace with anything. Oh, shit. Damn. Some other random cartoon's gonna have to lose their spot on the schedule. Damn it, Kevin, don't remind me of shit like that.
I could give you a lot more if you want.
We'd have to change the entire schedule.
Some that I want to have a spot here.
We'd have to lose The Lion King and Little Mermaid and...
I've been watching a lot of Denver the Last Dinosaur.
Oh, Christ, hell no, I'm not talking... I'm
really digging that show. It's actually pretty good, anyway.
Yeah. Alright, so that's it for TuneCast. Thank you for joining us. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com. Join the forums protoconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Positive feedback is welcome. Constructive criticism will get you cursed at.
But still do it.
Yeah, still do it. Follow us on Twitter. GCR and TuneCast is the show Twitter. Mine is TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
Boss K Dog.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast and wish you'll join us next time when we're reminiscing on The Pink Panther Show. For now, I am TFG on Michael with
Optimus Solo from BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
He tried to have a radio voice. What the hell?
I could do it if I wanted to.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.